Get road trip ready with a service checkup at your local Chevy dealer. They can save you time and money and get the job done right the first time, worry-free. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com for current service specials or to schedule a test drive.
Minutes after 8 o'clock. Here with WGN. Thanks for being there. You can't get any more Chicago than this. It's looking pretty today. Blue skies, sunshine. Maybe the sun will dry up some of all that standing water from last week. We're going to have one heck of a mosquito crop this year. So we've got that, and we've got the, killer hornets or something?
Murder hornets.
Murder hornets, that's it. Thank you, Dave. Dean Richards is here to give us some entertainment distractions here.
I feel like I'm on Maxwell Street right now. I feel like it's an early Sunday morning. I'm eating a Polish sausage with grilled onions and listening to those good old blues musicians out on the street.
Yeah, how about that? That'd be nice. I was watching Channel 9 here in the studio, and I saw Sting singing. And I guess, you know, we have so much to choose from now, online and streaming. Everybody's in our living room today, right?
Yeah, everybody is in their own living rooms, mostly performing. He happens to have a full, complete professional recording studio at his house and participated in Rolling Stone magazine's In My Room series. They've been putting together these little mini concerts from some big names in music, and Sting did one earlier this week, and not only sang a few songs, but talked about how grateful he is.
Oh, we don't have that audio, I guess, Dean.
Oh, that's too bad.
We didn't get it in the mail.
I'm an Englishman, and I can sing the songs. Just so happens, a message in a bottle. Okay, we'll send that.
Is that Sting or is that Dean Richards?
Boy, I know it's hard to tell. It's very, very hard to tell. We'll send some sound of all of that, I think, during the break.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. What else is going on today?
Let's see. We also have the Pitchfork Music Festival officially throwing in the towel on this year, just like Ravinia did on their entire season. Yesterday, they said that in the spirit of what government officials are telling us, and for the safety of both the bands and the audience and the crew, everybody involved, they've decided to cancel the Pitchfork Music Festival for this year. This is the one that is in Union Park in mid-July, and they had quite a few big bands that were scheduled. Many of the bands had already canceled their schedules anyway, so that's part of the process with this. But as we learned after Ravinia was canceled, that this isn't just a quick process of canceling or picking things up again. It takes a long time to either shut down or decide to continue to go ahead and do this. In this case, the producers of Pitchfork say if we all do our part, then we will celebrate next year in person. They are going to do some live streaming events this year. Some people may have already purchased their tickets for Pitchfork, and you will be contacted via email with your refund options. But this still, you know, opens up the question about what about Lollapalooza? They are, scheduled to go the beginning of August. They bring over 100,000 people into Grant Park every day for Lollapalooza. Why have they not canceled this yet? They said that they're going to have a definitive word at the end of the month, but at this point, I just don't know what they're waiting for.
We were talking to Tom Dreesen yesterday, and this was depressing to hear. Tom, who, of course, is in touch with all the big comedians, and he said that most of the comics, if not all of the comics who are touring, who do the big shows, they're not even talking about 2021. They're working on scheduling appearances in 2022. How
right.
about that?
Yeah. And, they, you know, a lot of them are doing online specials like Tom Dreesen is doing. He's doing his Sinatra show online.
Mm-hmm.
But like Seinfeld has a new comedy special that's on Netflix this week. That's what those guys are doing for now, just not touring the country like they normally do. I think a lot of these comedians are secretly kind of happy that they don't have to be on planes every week
and
staying in Motel 6s around the country every week as well. So, you know, that's I think that's part of it. But these big music festivals, I don't know. I just don't know what they're waiting for. We're constantly in contact with them. Same with Taste of Chicago and, you know, the neighborhood festivals, the big annual neighborhood festivals. I don't know how you put on, you know, some of these big street festivals or Taste or Lollapalooza and maintain the proper social distancing and all the precautions that they want us to take. But I guess they'll tell us whenever they tell us. Kevin Spacey has gotten into the conversation about COVID-19 and what may be the weirdest comparison ever made. Yesterday, he said in a podcast that he was doing that he can relate to people who have lost their jobs because of COVID-19, that he has empathy for what it feels like to suddenly be told you can't go back to work or that you might lose your job because of a situation over which you have absolutely no control. Now, you know, in one case, it's an extremely contagious disease. In the other case, it's somebody who has been accused of multiple sexual assaults. I think a pretty big difference,
mm-hmm.
but he lost his job with House of Cards. He lost a number of other jobs as well. One of those sexual assault charges was dropped last year. Another one he settled out of court. But that's Kevin Spacey, you know, stepping into this as well and comparing his experience to what people who are suddenly out of work are going through.
Nothing he has said or done in recent years has made much sense.
Yeah.
I mean, really. All right, let's take a quick break.
Some big name Chicago DJs are taking their skills online. Check out the virtual party scene. Tonight's cover story on WGN-TV News at 9.
And again, DJ today does not mean what DJ used to mean. Dean Richards, you know that too, don't you? It's 8:21, and we have some.
Did you ever do the like club DJ thing?
No, at
all.
No.
I did one time. I thought, how hard can this be? And it's incredibly hard. It's much easier just to read the weather.
Oh yeah. Well, you get no break if you're doing that live DJ thing, right?
Yeah. Well, you got to carry all the records in, and it's a lot of work.
Okay, Dick Biondi. We have some Sting to hear, and now this is from the Rolling Stone series?
Yeah, Rolling Stone magazine. They do a series called In My Room, and they did a session with Sting, who thanked all the frontline healthcare workers, showed all of his appreciation, and then did three or four of his most popular songs.
Right,
hi, everybody. This is Sting. I'm in my home in England, and I'm lucky enough to have a recording studio here where I can work every day. I'm very fortunate. I'm very grateful. I'm also grateful for our healthcare workers who are doing an extraordinary job, risking their lives every day on the front line. And the best thing we can do is to help them and not to get sick and not to add to their workload, because we are all in this together. Hey!
Just a castaway, an island lost at sea, oh. Another lonely day with no one here but me, oh. More loneliness than any man could bear. Rescue me before despair. Oh, I'll send an SOS to the world. I'll sell an SOS to the world. I hope that someone gets my. I hope that someone gets my. I hope that someone gets my message in the bottle.
He always sounds great, whether
doesn't
he's
he?
Whether he's in concert, in a recording studio, in his living room.
Yeah, exactly right. He sang this song. He sang Fragile and Englishman in New York. And, you know, when you see the video, if you go to RollingStone.com, you can see the full session and see his recording studio. It's pretty impressive.
A lot of artists doing special songs for the pandemic. Gloria Estefan released something yesterday. Mike Love's got one. In fact, we're going to talk to Mike tomorrow morning here on the show.
Cool.
So more coming on that, I'm sure.
Very nice. Very nice. Let's see what else we have this morning. Have you seen that new picture of Adele?
No.
She released a picture on social media yesterday. It looks like she lost 40 or 50 pounds. She is, like, so thin. It looks fantastic. You know, everybody, you know, you post a picture like that on social media and just wait for the trolls to come out.
I mean, of course,
people are, congratulating her on the weight loss because she looks so healthy now. But, you know, other people are trashing her. Some people are saying looks like she had a lot of plastic surgery done. Some people are fat shaming her old look. And she was, you know, a fully curved woman before, but I never really thought of her. I always thought that she was a very attractive woman both ways.
Mm-hmm.
But she's not talking about how she lost the weight, what she's done. She just looks incredibly healthy right now, but looks like a completely different person. If you want to see that, just Google, you know, Adele's picture, and it's coming up like crazy because it's all over social media right now.
Yeah, I'm looking at it on Instagram. Yeah, she looks sensational.
Yeah, isn't it amazing?
Yeah.
It's an amazing transformation. What else do we have here? Kelly Clarkson, during her social isolation, has decided to sell her home. It's a, you tell me, maybe this is something you'd like to move into, Bob. It's a custom-built 9,800-square-foot home, 8 bedrooms, 9 bathrooms, gourmet kitchen, master suite with fireplace, private patio with multiple pizza ovens, and a 2-level guest house.
Can I just get the pizza ovens?
Wouldn't that be great? I would love to have a pizza oven on my back deck.
Yeah.
It can be yours for just under $10 million.
Okay. All right.
It's a good deal.
I'll run that by my accountants over at the firm here downtown, Dewey, Cheatham & Howe. Got a couple of questions for you, Dean, all about events that I'm sure are going to get canceled. Taste of Chicago. Have we heard official announcements about all of the city's summer events?
No. I've been in contact with the mayor's special events people. Trying to get some clarity on what might happen, or at least when they might be making an announcement. Because, I mean, most of those events, the street festivals, you know, which are major events, those begin Labor Day weekend, which is just a few weeks away. But Taste of Chicago is, you know, end of June, early July.
You mean Memorial Day weekend?
Memorial Day
right.
weekend,
mm-hmm.
right? Right. You know, those are just for all of them right around the corner. No, we have not heard one thing about any of those things. I would think that as strict as the mayor's been about keeping people apart from each other, social distancing, that is, that, you know, that would be kind of a no-brainer that the city's not going to let any of that happen.
Well, we have to be patient. It's hard, but we just have to be patient for a while. Back to the comedians, the thing about the comics, they can't perform in a venue where they're going to limit the number of people to like 50, and then everybody will be spaced far apart. And if you're depending on laughter, that just doesn't work, does it?
No, watch any of the late night shows right now where the comedians are doing monologues, but with no audiences. And the audience laughter, whether it's real or it's canned, it does help.
Yeah.
It does make a difference. I will say Bill Maher's show.
Oh, yeah. I was just going to bring that up.
On HBO, he's using old footage of audience reaction from, like, old Ed Sullivan shows.
Everything.
The old Miss America pageants.
Yeah. But it helps him with the timing of his monologue.
It does. It does. And it's very funny to watch, too, while he's telling jokes. They flash back to, kids from when the Beatles were appearing on Ed Sullivan.
Yeah.
There's just one other thing real quick here, Bob, because I know you have to go, but the Simpsons have had an uncanny track record of predicting events that happened 10, 20 years later. The Simpsons predicted the election of Donald Trump as president and a number of other events. And in 1993, they did an episode in which a virus from Japan got trapped in some merchandise that was sent to the U.S. to Homer Simpson. The virus that was in the box spread all over Springfield, and everybody in Springfield suddenly got infected by this virus while they were the public was going panicking about this virus. While the public was panicking, it accidentally knocks over a truck full of killer bees.
Oh, you're kidding.
That go, then take over Springfield as well. So the Simpsons, 27 years ago, a pandemic virus and killer bees. The Simpsons can predict what will happen in the future, clearly.
Can I see that somewhere?
It's on YouTube. It's called Marge's Last Chain, I believe, is the name of the episode. I'll send you the name of the exact episode. But yes, it is definitely available on YouTube, and it is uncanny to watch it.
All right, we'll play a little clip of that after the news and Paul Harvey's rest of the story. Thanks, Dean. Talk to you tomorrow.
See you guys.